I appreciate the opportunity again to be able to talk with you about this question. What does it mean to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? When the Philippian jailer in Acts 16 asked Paul and Silas this question, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" He was given that answer: "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." Brethren, just to bring us up to speed tonight, remember, Acts 16:31 connects to the Great Commission. You cannot disconnect that passage of the Bible from the teaching of Jesus Christ to his apostles. He instructed them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." That's what the Lord told them, recorded in Mark 16:15-16. So Paul and Silas were doing that. But you know, those inspired men, as they went into some pagan areas that had never heard the gospel of Christ till that time, possibly had never even heard of Jesus Christ. So they had to start where the man was. And what they told him was, "You believe on the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved." You have to start right there. You cannot disconnect Acts 16:31 from other "what must I do to be" passages. What must I do to be saved? Or the equivalent thereof. In Acts 2 and verse number 37, about 3,000 Jewish people on that day obeyed the gospel of Christ. But remember the question that they asked: "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" There's the first time it's asked. It was also asked by Saul of Tarsus in Acts 9. When the Lord appeared to Saul and he told him that he was persecuting him, he was persecuting the Lord's church. And Saul said, "What would you have me do, Lord?" He said, "Go into the city and it will be told thee what thou must do." But he asked the same question: "What would you have me do?" The Philippian jailer, he asked the question, "What must I do to be saved?" So all of those questions were asked, and the answers varied. And the reason why the answers varied is because the people that asked the questions were in different places. I'll give you an up-to-date example, and then we'll move to the next thing I want to talk about. Suppose a high school student says, "What do I need to do to obtain a PhD?" Ask the friend, "What must I do?" And the friend says, "Well, you go to college." Well, that is the correct answer, isn't it? It's short, but that is a correct answer. What would an advisor say? You finish high school. You enroll in a college and get your undergraduate degree. You enroll in a master's program and get your master's degree. You enroll in a doctorate program and get your doctoral degree. When you do that, you'll have your PhD. What's the short answer? Go to college. What's the short answer for the Philippian jailer? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now see, what that does is it brings us to the next point. Acts 16:31 also connects to Acts 16:32. Turn your Bibles with me there tonight, please, and let's look at that passage. The reason why it's important, brethren, to look at what the Bible says on what to do to be saved or to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and try to see what the Bible teaches about that is because there are a lot of misunderstanding pertaining to that passage. There were people who will turn to Acts 16:31 and say, "That's all there is." Acts 16:31 answers it. Matter of fact, I've seen it on the back of a car, a sticker, what to do to be saved. Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. There's where you start. But as we have looked at all of these passages this morning, and then we will go through them again tonight, is that all the Bible says about what to do to be saved? It has to start with faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. So the Philippian jailer needed to hear the Word of God. The Bible says in Acts 16 and verse number 32, that's exactly what he heard. Look at what the Bible says. And they, that's Paul and Silas, spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. What is implied in that passage? Every single command that the Lord commanded people to be saved. It's implied there, brother. It has to be. Because Acts 16:31 does not disconnect from the Great Commission, from those what must I do to be passages, and also from this verse, Acts 16:32. So they informed him of what Jesus Christ wanted him to do to be saved. What is not mentioned in the passage, though? Let's read on a little farther. Verse 33, he took them the same hour of the night. Now, sometimes folks will read that and they'll conclude, well, we can just wait a couple weeks and gather up all the people we want to baptize and we'll just baptize them then. They're already saved at the point of belief. Ladies and gentlemen, I will assure you, and I want to show you, the Bible does not teach that. The commands to be saved, the Lord instructed his apostles. The first century church, the first century Christian, obeyed those commands and they obeyed them right then. Now notice what it says. He took them the same hour of the night. That is in there to help us understand the urgency that this man needed to comprehend about salvation. The same hour of the night washed their stripes. Brethren, they had been beaten because of preaching the gospel. Washing their stripes was a sign of repentance on his part. He wants to help them now. Before this change that had come upon him, the repentance, he could have cared less about their stripes. Now he wants to help these men. But notice, the Bible says, he took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, and was baptized, and his household. What does that passage not tell us? It doesn't say a thing about repentance, does it? It doesn't say repentance. Question. Have we already looked at some passages as we talked about this that repentance was mentioned? Acts 2:38, you remember that passage? The reason why it was taught by those apostles is because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, taught his apostles to teach it. And his church must also carry that forward and teach the gospel of repentance. It has to be taught, brethren. That is the toughest command to obey because it requires change, and change is hard for us. It's difficult. It takes a change or an altercation of mind and heart. You change the way you think, change what you say, change what you do. That takes a lot. That takes a lot to do. But isn't that what the Lord taught his apostles to teach? Let me show it to you. Turn your Bibles with me to Luke 24. And let's look at this passage. Luke 24, verse number 46. Luke 24, 46. This is right before he ascended to heaven, teaching his apostles to go to the world and preach the gospel. It is said here, Jesus Christ preaching, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Notice it, brethren, he says that repentance. Isn't that what it says? And remission of sins. Jesus Christ commanded repentance to be preached. Jesus Christ commanded that remission of sins be preached by his authority in all nations, beginning there in the city of Jerusalem. And that is exactly the mission those apostles and the first century church took to heart. And if we're going to be like them and follow our Lord, we take it to heart. And we do exactly that same thing. The apostles preached repentance. Acts 2:38, the Bible says that Peter with the 11, they stood up on that Pentecost and they taught, repent and be baptized. In Acts 17:30 and 31, the apostle Paul is teaching the Athenians and he said to them, the times of this ignorance, God winked at, or that is overlooked. But now, watch this, now commands all men, everywhere to repent. Does that leave any accountable person out? All men, everywhere, must repent. All right? Does that include the Philippian jailer in Acts 16. You had better believe it includes him. He repented. How do you know that? He took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. That's signs of repentance. And how in the world did this man get his sins remitted? He was baptized that same night. And baptism is the consummating act that puts one into Jesus Christ, because in baptism, you contact the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not the water that saves the person, it's baptism. And the baptism is in water. I remember hearing a story, or maybe reading about Brother N.B. Hardiman in a debate. And he was talking about the new birth, as the Lord taught it in John 3:3-5. And he said that the new birth was being born of water and the Spirit. And the man that he was debating said, well, what is water there? And Brother Hardiman said, well, that's buttermilk. That's what it is, buttermilk. The baptism is in buttermilk. The man said, well, how did you get buttermilk out of that passage? He said, how do you get anything other than water? It's water. Reminds me of another fella. He was preaching on baptism over and over again. And baptism is commanded by the Lord to be taught, brother. Very vital subject. But the brother was preaching on baptism, it seemed like, every Sunday, morning and night. And the elders went to him and said, now, brother, look, we believe that baptism is for the remission of sins commanded by God and is essential to save the soul. We absolutely believe it. But you've been preaching on baptism now for the last four Sundays. You know, he said, they said there's other subjects in the Bible. He said, pick another subject and preach on that. And he said, okay. He got up the next Sunday. He said, I'm going to talk about the creation of the world. And the elders were like, we got to him. He's changed the subject up a little bit. He said, the Lord created the earth in six literal 24-hour days. And the earth is covered two-thirds by water, which brings me to my subject, baptism. You know, sometimes the folks out there in the religious world, they will talk about belief and stop right there. To be saved, that's it. Faith. Faith only. Ladies and gentlemen, please hear me. Sometimes in the Church of Christ, all we talk about is baptism. That's not all that Jesus Christ requires a person to be saved. You start with belief. You cannot skip over repentance. That must be taught. And the reason, there are times you've probably seen this, that folks appear to obey the gospel of Christ. They might come to church a couple, three Sundays, and then they're gone. And I question in my mind at times, but I'll tell you, if I have any doubt in my own mind about that person I'm studying with, I want them to fully understand that belief is absolutely necessary, as is repentance. And if you repent, you're going to begin the death of that old person. Truly, when you repent, that's when the death of that old person starts. And that's the reason when you confess Christ, the Son of God, and make that great confession, then baptism is where you put that old man in a burial and bury him. And then he's raised up to walk in newness of life. And that's what the Bible teaches. This Philippian jailer, this man obeyed the gospel of Christ that very day because Paul and Silas spake unto him, the Bible says, the word of the Lord. So they informed him of everything that he needed to understand. Do you know what else is not mentioned in Acts 16:32? Is confession. Did Jesus Christ teach his apostles about confession? Did he not say that confession also was essential to salvation? Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever therefore shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Well, brethren, confession, Matthew 10:32-33, the Lord taught it. And it is absolutely necessary to be saved. That's the reason why Philip asked the Ethiopian eunuch, when he said, here's water, what does hinder me to be baptized? Philip said, if you believe, note this now, with all your heart, everything about you, you believe with all your heart. Jesus Christ is the Son of God? He'd make the confession. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He made that great confession. And it is essential to salvation. Paul said, with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Romans 10:9-10. That's imperative. We cannot take that out of God's plan to save us. So what does it mean to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes, it means to put faith in Him and hear His word. It means to repent of your sins. Every single sin must be repented. I heard a brother pray one time. He said for this person that responded, member of the church, having a lot of struggles and difficulties. Seemed like she was coming forward just every so often. Didn't know exactly if repentance was taking place. Well, brethren, take people at face value and pray for them, right? His prayer was, Father, we ask Thee to forgive sister so-and-so as far as she repents. And that's as far as it will go. If we repent of all our sins, in forgiveness, the Lord will forgive us all our sins. Confession is absolutely necessary, as is repentance, as is belief in Christ, and then baptism. Brethren, it is for the remission of sins. There's no way that I can put Christ on until I do that in baptism. The Bible teaches that Christ is put on in baptism. For you're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Galatians 3, 26, 27. And He is not put on until we are in Him through baptism. And that's what it takes to be saved. That's what it means to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 16:31 also connects to other passages on faith. When it's consistent with the teaching of the Bible, it's going to be consistent in our minds as we follow the Bible's teaching on it. The Lord wants us to follow exactly what the Bible teaches. Brother, when we talk about faith, how is it used? It involves man's intellect. It involves man's emotions and his will. All of that is involved in faith. But how does the faith come? By hearing the Word of God. When we believe in Jesus, what do we believe? There are people out there in the religious world who are not Christians that believe something about Him. What must we believe? We must believe in Christ that He is deity. That's God. There are people out there in the religious world believe Christ. Believe He was a good man. Believe He was a prophet. They do not believe He's God. He's God. Do you remember when doubting Thomas doubted about the resurrected Savior? Well, the Lord didn't just call him out on it and call him an infidel. The Lord wanted to prove Himself to Thomas. He said, "Thrust your hand right here in my side. Take your fingers and feel the prints here in my hands." When he saw that, Thomas said to Christ Jesus, "My Lord and my God." That's who Jesus Christ is. And when we believe in Him, we believe that 100%. But not only that, 100% humanity, 100% man. Jesus Christ was here. Ladies and gentlemen, He felt the sorrow that we feel. He understood happiness. The first miracle that recorded in the Bible in John 2, the Lord turned water into wine at a marriage feast. He was celebrating with them. Those are good times, right? He was man. He was human. The Lord knew what it was to weep. The Lord knew what it was to sorrow. Knew what it was to feel anguish and pain. Knew what it was to feel hungry 40 days and 40 nights. He went without food before the temptation in the wilderness. You know, Jesus Christ is an amazing man. Don't you believe? Amen. Amazing man. And He's the Son of God. And He's the Messiah. And He's the Savior of all the world. That is what I need to have in my mind. Also, the emotions. I believe on Christ. I do not just believe the facts. And sometimes, brethren, I think this applies to all of us. Just give me the facts. Well, let's look at the facts. Then when you gather the facts and you have the facts, here's the question. Do you trust Him? Do you trust Him? Friend, when the darkness is over you and the storms are coming, and life is not going the way you thought it should go, have you put your trust in Jesus Christ? He's going to try us. You know that, don't you? Are we worthy? You let a difficult time come sometimes, members of the church. They blame the Lord and fall away. That's not what the Lord wants, brethren. He wants us faithful. He wants us to put our trust in Him. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Note this. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct thy paths. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. That's what I do with my will. I trust in Him. And then also the will. It's obedient. How do I prove my faith and how do I prove my trust in Christ? Obey Him. This night, if there is a sin in your heart or soul, you've separated from God. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face that He will not hear. When I obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, that is me enacting my will according to His commands. I trust that when I obey the gospel or repent of that sin and confess it to God and brothers and sisters in Christ, He's forgiven it. And isn't it great that you can go home tonight knowing that your sins have been remitted? And the Bible says in Hebrews 8:12 that God will remember them against you no more. Sometimes folk might sit around and talk about the sins of other people. And that's maybe that they after they had become Christians. I've often wondered, does the Lord know what they're talking about? Remember them no more. Outstanding, isn't it? Tonight, if you're not a New Testament Christian, I want you to become one. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ means that you put your faith in Him. Means that you repent of every sin that you've ever committed. Sin is not worth losing the soul. If you do not think that Almighty God loves you, you look to that cross right now and you see the blood dripping from it. Jesus Christ loves you. He loves me and all of the world. And He wants us saved. He demonstrates it, brethren. Please don't say, no one loves me. That's not true. God does. He wants you saved now. And if you will confess after repenting of your sins, confess to Christ that He is the Son of God and be baptized into water for the remission of your sins, you will contact His blood. It will cleanse your soul. He will add you to His church, which is His kingdom here upon this earth. There's no greater place to be than in God's kingdom and saved by the blood of His Son. And all of that is according to God's plan, the great plan of redemption. What does it mean to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? If you've remembered every word that I've taught this morning and this evening,